Welcome to the Humans for SDGs podcast,
where we feature everyday individuals who are taking action for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
These 17 Sustainable Development Goals aim to transform the world by year 2030 by eradicating poverty, protecting the environment, achieving prosperity, and ensuring peaceful and just societies through multi-sector partnerships. This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Humans for SDGs podcast, where we feature everyday individuals who are taking action for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I'm one half of your host today, Rex Arevalo.
Hi, everyone. And I'm Aya Antonio. And today, we are joined by another individual working for the Sustainable Development Goals, and Brex, who is our guest for today.
Our guest for today is a professional teacher and a teacher fellow at Teach for the Philippines, and also the YFPH's SDG4 Quality Education Ambassador, Ms. Princess Godoy. Hello, Cess. How are you?
Hello, Brex. Hello, Aya.
All right, so to start our interview, we first would want to ask you, what's keeping you busy these days? We are in a pandemic. How are you spending your day?
Well, I'm currently employed in a private school, and now we are doing summer program. So that's what's keeping me busy, doing the curriculum and teaching the kids.
So you mentioned that you're a teacher fellow at Teach for the Philippines. Is that primarily what you're doing, or are you juggling two jobs also as a teacher in that private school?
I just graduated from Teach for the Philippines last May. So I'm now done with Teach for the Philippines, and now I'm an alumni. I'm part of the alumni of Cohort 2018.
Teach for the Philippines is one of the renowned NGOs in the education sector, particularly, yes, for SDG4, which is quality education. Tell us about your experience working with Teach for the Philippines, and maybe you can give an overview of the program because it's very interesting.
To tell you about Teach for the Philippines, Teach for the Philippines is, yes, a non-government organization working with different sectors like DepEd, the local government units, and the private sector, with the vision that all Filipino children will have access to inclusive, excellent, and relevant education. As a teacher fellow, we are employed for 2 years as a public school teacher. And aside from that, we are also tasked to do community engagement projects that are needed by the community and sustainable.
Okay, you touched on something there that's very interesting, especially right now in the light of the pandemic. Access to education is something that's been in the news, especially since a lot of those schools have had to close down. And we're not sure about direction that education is going to go in when the first semester of the next school year comes. What are your thoughts about that? Is Teach for the Philippines trying to do something to provide accessible education to the kids, or are you doing anything related to that?
Teach for the Philippines is still doing the best they can to do their mission. And personally, each alumni or each of my cohorts have their own individual projects that we are pursuing right now. What I'm working right now during this pandemic is I noticed that it's very hard for people to adjust to the current situation, especially now when it comes to education. It's a very sensitive topic. For me, what I noticed is the access to relevant materials. That's the problem of most people right now. So what I've been working on is I'm doing this with my barangay in coordination with them. I am bringing them materials that my co-fellows also made. It's called the Marungko Booklet, where we will help the parents to be equipped so they can teach their kid how to read. Because right now, in the current situation, it's not just the teacher working. We should all help each other.
All right. That's interesting. That provides a more holistic approach to learning, especially for the kids. And we know that you have a background in psychology. How has it helped you in your line of work?
Psychology is very helpful, I think, in every aspect, because psychology is very broad and intertwines with everything. So it's good that I have a background in child development because it can help me tailor my lessons or my materials more so that it will fit to the children more appropriately. So for example, can I ask you, Aya and Rex, what do you like to do when you were a kid?
I like to read. When I was a kid, I was very quiet and I'm kind of doing the same stuff now.
How about you, Aya?
Coloring books and sketching dresses.
In that kind of situation, as a teacher, it would help me to know your interests. So for example, I know that Brex likes to read, so I can have more activities for Brex that involves reading. So that can interest him more in learning. And for Aya, I could ask you to do activities that more on drawing or motor skills activity. So that's how psychology works with education, because it can help you observe the behavior of the kids so you can tailor fit your lesson plans and materials so you can engage the kids more in learning.
That's super interesting. Psychology really interests me on a personal level. To segue a little bit, you know, when I was choosing my course for college, first thing that came to mind, even if I didn't really know what I wanted to do, was psychology. I didn't know why or how, but I just wanted psychology for some reason. I didn't take it, but eventually I got interested in it, and now I'm reading a lot of different psychology books. And what you mentioned just now about child development and then really looking at what the child is interested in reminds me of my experience talking to a teenager from a school called Mary Woods in Mindanao. And their program revolves around the 7 habits of highly effective people. And you underwent a workshop before on the 7 habits. Can you tell us a little bit about this? And what is it? What would you recommend?
Well, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is originally a book, and then it got into different branches like 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teen and a lot more. You can read about it online or in print. There's a lot of articles about it. But basically, it's 7 habits that you can practice in order for you to be more successful in what you are doing. Not to spoil anything, but I can share about my favorite habit. My favorite habit is habit 1, called be proactive. I know that a lot of us wants to do something and it's just telling you that you have to start it now. So for example, Rex and Aya, what have you been wanting to do this quarantine that you haven't got the chance to do yet?
Cook more. I think that's the one. I cook a little bit, but not too much.
I think I would like to exercise more. But I mean, I get to do it. Like Rex said, he is able to cook, but not as often as he wanted. And it's difficult, maybe because I've read some parts of the book already. So I'm kind of pressured to actually deliver on actually practicing the principles in the book. But really, says, go ahead, tell us the most interesting parts of the book that's actually helpful for you as an educator.
We have the same thing, Aya. I want to exercise more also. And I've been trying, like, ever since the quarantine started. I tried, and then I stopped, and I tried again, and then I stopped. Well, in habit 1, it's called be proactive. It means that you have to start something and continue doing it in order for you to be more proactive. For example, I want to try exercise. I need to do it every day and routinely. And it is helpful that it's the habit 1 because in order for you to do the other habits, you need to practice that habit first. So I guess that's what I'm sharing now, because if you can't do the habit 1, then you can't do the other habit. And in order for you to be successful, you have to really do all the habits. It's really interesting, and I highly encourage everyone to read all the habits and try to practice it.
So number 1, be proactive. That really speaks about where we are in terms of YFTH with the youth force, where we are a volunteer organization primarily, and a lot of what we do hinges upon that being proactive. Aside from your experience as a teacher and being a teacher fellow, Teach for the Philippines, SES, you're also the SCG4 Quality Education Ambassador for YFTH. Could you tell us about your upcoming plans as SCG4 Ambassador?
As I've mentioned before, I am currently working with my barangay right now to distribute learning materials. And if that became successful, I'm planning to reach more communities so that we can deliver learning materials as well to the families that need it. So aside from the learning materials, I am planning also to conduct workshop on how to use the materials. And in light right now with the current situation, I hope I can conduct it either online so we can reach more communities, because right now we really need to tap the communities that do not have the access with relevant and quality education.
That's interesting. I'm also looking forward to that, Cez. But maybe now you can tell us about, you know, amid all these things that you've been doing, tell us about the challenges that you encounter as an advocate and as someone working on the acceleration of the achievement of the SDGs, particularly on SDG 4, quality education. What are the challenges that you've encountered and how do you overcome these?
Well, the number one challenge is time. There's lack of time in everything that we do. There's a lot of things that we need to do and feel like there's not a lot of time. Like a day, it feels like it's not enough. So for me, what really helps is to do a schedule. Like I really need to concretely see what I need to do in order for me to plan and execute it efficiently, because sometimes there's a lot of things going on in my mind and sometimes I forget what I need to do. So every week I already have plans and so I can see what I need to do and achieve for the rest of the week.
Does that come from the 7 habits or is it something you just came from through experience?
Yes, it's one of the habits where you have to chunk all your activities for urgent, if it's important or not urgent. So you can see what you need to do immediately so you don't have to procrastinate. So yes, 7 habits is really helpful.
Right. So yes, guys, go check out the 7 Habits for Highly Effective People. There's an audiobook available and also, yeah, get the hardbound if you can manage to order online maybe. But yes, that's a recommended read. And thank you, Cez, for sharing that. Maybe in some of our episodes or in some other opportunities, we can share about these tips on time management. Because I think a lot of us advocates and volunteers really, you know, struggle in juggling many things that we're doing. But at the same time, we also need to kind of prioritize everything. Thank you, Cez, for sharing. And Rex, any other follow-up questions or last words before we wrap up?
Well, Cez, I guess, what would you recommend to being a teacher, being an advocate for quality education? What would you recommend or what is your message to the youth? What do you think we should be doing? What should the different sectors from civil society to government be doing together so that we can address the challenges of quality education?
For me, I've been hearing and seeing a lot of different news right now. And it really saddens me that a lot of people is scared for the opening of classes. So as an educator, I really believe in the importance of education and learning, especially now during the pandemic, where there's a lot to learn and to cope on, given that we are entering the new normal. So for me, continuous education is very important. And I guess this is a call for the government to focus more on the enlightenment of education, because I can see that a lot of parents and students are really scared on this upcoming school year. So I guess it will help if they can show that they have concrete solutions, so the students and parents will not be scared. They could start with describing the terms, because I noticed that DepEd is offering different modes of learning that most people don't understand. So it can help if they can describe it more in an easier way that people could understand that they are doing something, so they will not be scared with the face-to-face and online, because that's the thing about this coming school year. It's not just face-to-face and online. There's a lot of other options that they are exploring. And I wish, this is what I wish for this upcoming school year, even if it's not the traditional way with the classroom setup, I hope that there would be equal access to quality and relevant education.
Thank you, Cess, for that. And yeah, you're one of our champions for quality education, and I really hope that we get to address access to quality education. Thank you, Cess, and I look forward to all the great things that is, you know, on the pipeline. Thank you, Cess, for joining us in this episode of Humans for SDGs. Once again, we hope that the government and all sectors would really work together, especially in this pandemic. And we'll also see what we can do from the civil society organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Cess. Thank you for listening to the Humans for SDGs podcast. This has been Brex Arevalo.
This has been Aya Antonio.
Please tune in to our next episode, where we will be featuring more individuals who are taking action for the UN SDGs.
This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/YouthForcePH.